Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and by the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In this episode, student Brenna Perlstein interviews Nancy Schoen, the artist best known for her Make Way for Duckling sculptures in Boston Common. As a mother, Nancy struggled to find time for her art amid domestic life, but she got some helpful guidance from a mentor that changed the course of her artistic career.
If you were to walk along the northern edge of the Boston Public Garden, you would probably come across children and their parents, all gathered around a trail of low bronze statues. There sits a row of ducklings lined up behind their mother, Mrs. Mallard, on their way to their home in the lagoon. Inspired by Make Way for Ducklings, a classic 1941 children's book by Robert McCloskey, these sculptures are an enduring part of Boston's public space, much in the way that the book was a staple on many family bookshelves. Though the sculpture was designed in 1987, it is still loved by visitors of all ages, and it's all thanks to sculptor Nancy Schoen. Schoen is an accomplished artist, and many of her public sculptures are favorites around Boston. Yet despite the success, it was not always easy for Nancy to balance her artistic life with her responsibilities as the mother of four children.
Do you think that, like, having children affected how you made art or how you related to your artwork?
I certainly do. Not only that, but we were poor. It was really hard to think about art. And I tried, but having children at that point when they were little was really quite hard. It was not only the fact of having children, it was the fact that we were moving around a lot. We were in the Army, and then my husband was changing jobs, and until we sort of settled a little bit. I don't know how people do it when they have kids and they have full-time jobs, especially if they're poor. It took a while before I could deal with being an artist when I was wanting to be a mom. The art had to sort of wait. Also, in those days, women didn't necessarily think that the husbands were kind of more responsible for the income, and the moms stayed home and worked. It wasn't until we got back to Boston that I was able to start doing some teaching.
In the 50s, Nancy was introduced to Edna Hibble, a successful painter at the time who became an important figure in Nancy's life, both as a mentor and a dear friend. The two would go to the museum together with their husbands on Tuesday nights when it was free. Nancy remembers the thrill of experiencing art with other people. They'd look at one piece in particular and spend the whole evening talking about it. With Edna's help, Nancy learned to find a balance between the demands of her home life and her desire to create art.
She taught me so many different things. The most important thing was when I had these four children, she said to me, you know, you really have a lot of time, and if you use it wisely. And by this, she said, once your child, this last child, goes to nursery school, you've got at least 2 hours, and you've got 2 hours 5 times a week. So just think about that. You've got 10 hours. Now, don't do anything. The minute that child goes out the door, then I want you to go into your studio. I don't care what you do, but I want you to spend those 2 hours there. Don't do any housework. Don't do anything, but just sculpt. I said, what? She said, just do it. And she said, you've got 10 hours.
So Nancy began by using those 10 hours each week.
I started working in wax, and I started making these small figures. And because I had four children, and artists do what they know, I started doing mothers and children. I did a whole series. My son was a gymnast, and I started doing all sorts of sculptures about little boys and balancing on walls and stuff like that. And I did just a lot of mothers and children. And these little mothers and children were very, very popular. And her mother was also a very wonderful salesperson. So she started selling my sculptures. All of a sudden, I was selling sculptures, and I had a window on Newbury Street. Anyway, so this was a big deal. There I was in the window.
If you could go back in time and speak to the younger Nancy at this time, what would you tell her?
The younger Nancy or anybody, I would tell, you've got to be tough. You've got to be willing to take rejections. You've got to be willing to work hard. You've got to really care. You've got to have a fire in your belly. The most important thing that my father told me was that if everybody's going through one door, you better find another door to go through. So even though I had this mentor, and I didn't, and she was very, very important, I was dealing with other galleries and other people, and it's tough. And I had a husband who I could cry with, and he would pat me on the shoulder and say, you know, go ahead. And at one point, I was ready to give up, and he said, look, are you serious or not serious? So you better find a way. And so he was tough on me as well as being very helpful.
Nancy loves to make her art interactive. She wants children to touch and climb all over her sculptures. But as joyful as it is, public art also comes with its fair share of complications.
I was asked to do a sculpture for the Myrtle Street Playground in Boston on Beacon Hill. And so I did a big 4-foot sea turtle, Myrtle the turtle. And for example, the aquarium thought it was so wonderful because I did an endangered species, and they loved it. And we found this wonderful place right in the middle and put the thing in, and everybody was so happy with it. The kids were playing.
However, a few months later, Nancy received a call from the playground's architect.
There were two women who were complaining, and they wanted to take it out, and because one of their kids got burnt. Well, the fact of the matter is that sculpture in the sun gets hot. Mm-hmm. And most sculptures are in the sun at some point and get hot. So when something gets hot, you tell your kids to stay away from it. You know, you learn a lesson.
Instead, the mothers prevailed and the turtle was relocated to an area enclosed by a fence in order to protect the children. While Myrtle was surrounded by flowers and people could look at her, Nancy was dismayed that the children could no longer climb and play with the turtle or interact with it.
It was interesting. This architect designed the most beautiful canopy, you know, so that it wouldn't have to be in the fence, that would have made it, put it in the shade, and they didn't accept that.
I know we were talking about the past a lot, but how do you think about the future for yourself? I know that's a little bit of a big question.
No, it's easy. It's easy because I'm very optimistic.
Good.
There's a sign in my studio that says, be strong. And when I was working on the ducks one Saturday afternoon, one of the people in the studio came along, and I was very discouraged and so forth. And she wrote on this big piece of paper, be strong, with an exclamation. Well, I've carried that and I've Xeroxed that over and over again every time I've moved and when it's got more and more. As I said, only those who dare truly live.
Despite the challenges of balancing her artwork with motherhood, it seems clear to me that Nancy would do it all over again. Even through all the trials and tribulations, even with only a few hours a week dedicated to her art, in between changing diapers and cleaning the house, the fulfillment and joy of creation is an important part of a life well lived.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner and published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Brusovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adakobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to include a special thank you to Stephanie Lawrence, Harlene Singh, and Kristen Mullen, the WSRC team. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.